This is Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz, kicking off a show very much about Thanksgiving in Massachusetts, the innovative side dishes, the bounty of sports, and the vital need to help those struggling to make their Thanksgivings work, which includes lots of families in Merrimack Valley, where thousands of residents and businesses remain without heat or hot water following the gas explosions in September. The company that was responsible for those, is responsible for those gas lines, Columbia Gas, is providing 23,000 Thanksgiving meals, which people can either take home or enjoy in designated community gathering spaces. And WBUR Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers has been keeping up with this story, and he joins me now in the studio. Callum, how you doing?
Hey there, Evan. I'm well.
So how has Columbia Gas set up this operation? 23,000 meals, that's a lot of meals. Where are they coming from? How'd they get this organized?
Yeah, it's a lot of food, and Columbia's not doing the cooking, we should say.
Right,
that's
not their expertise.
That is not. They've outsourced the cooking to Tuscan Brands, which is a local restaurant chain in the Merrimack Valley. It's actually just over the line in Salem, New Hampshire. They've got a few different locations, and they have this massive industrial kitchen that I visited yesterday.
You actually saw the kitchen.
I did, and it looks big from just outside, and then it goes three more layers back that you can't even see. And we're talking about just mass quantities of food. 50,000 pounds of turkey. They've made 10,000 pies this week. I mean, it is quite the operation.
Wow. I mean, 50,000. I mean, that's so much turkey. Okay, so you were impressed with it. Did you talk to anybody who gave you information about how they pull it together or what they focus on or how you make that quantity of food?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big kitchen. They're used to doing large orders, but this is big even by their standards. And I did speak with the company's founder and chief executive, Joe Farrow. He's a Lawrence native, and he told me a little bit about the challenge of pulling together a meal on this scale.
We literally had to go to a fresh turkey processor and clean them out. You know, it was quite a feat, actually, to get all the materials reserved and then get them here and then process them, and then we got to package them hot. You know, we've been working on this for weeks.
Because think, Evan, about, you know, you have to reserve your turkey at the grocery store if you just want your own bird.
I was going to say, this really puts in perspective the fact that I have 17 people to serve 23,000 meals is a whole different operation, but there's a reason they have to provide 23,000 meals, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, let's not forget that people are in this situation because of Columbia Gas's error in the first place. And it's really two layers to it, Evan. I mean, remember, Columbia Gas, first of all, had some faulty pipework that caused this massive gas explosion and fires in homes throughout Andover and North Andover and Lawrence in September. And then on top of that, set a deadline that everyone thought was ambitious of getting everybody back in service by the 19th. That was this Monday.
So November 19th. November. That was the pledge.
That's right. And so that was going to be just a few days before Thanksgiving. I can remember speaking with a woman at a church in Lawrence not long after, for example, who was eyeing that day and thinking, great, I'm going to be able to host Thanksgiving. Some folks can, but that date hasn't come through for everybody. And so this effort is to make up for having missed that deadline.
Okay, so how many meals have been distributed so far? How much is left to go?
Yeah, believe it or not, none have been distributed so far. They all have to be distributed on Thanksgiving Day. And if you think about it, it makes sense. So they, while Tuscan Brands has been boxing up meals for people to heat up in their ovens to paying clients, the whole point here is that these gas customers can't heat it up
right,
in their gas oven. So instead, what they're going to do is they're going to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning on Thanksgiving and just start pumping out food from this kitchen. A lot of the food is pre-made, but they're going to heat it up and they're going to box it up all hot. And then people will come and pick it up on Thanksgiving morning and take it straight to eat.
Straight to eat where?
Well, they can either eat in their own homes or the hotel rooms or wherever they might be staying. And that's what most folks are doing. There's about 20,000 of the 23,000 that plan to do that, that have already made those reservations. But there's going to be another few thousand at a couple of large community buffets in Lawrence. One is at the Elks Lodge and one is in a park on the South Common where they've set up a huge heated tent to feed folks indoors.
Well, what about the workers, right? I mean, a number of workers have been dispatched, would come from around the country to help with the aftermath of this sort of disaster. What are they doing? What's Columbia doing for them on Thanksgiving?
Right. It's a good point. A lot of them did come from out of state and can't just go back to where they've come from for a single day. So they're here. They are included among the 23,000 meals. It's important to remember, too, that this has really sort of been a warm-up for Thanksgiving for Tuscan Brands, because the last couple of months, every day they've been preparing 3,000-plus meals for the gas workers. So that's already built into their contract with Columbia Gas. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, as much as folks in these communities are irked by what happened and how slow the response has been, they are grateful to the individual gas workers. So, for example, I also visited the Andover Senior Center yesterday, where they have invited gas workers who may be here from out of state to come and join them for a Thanksgiving Day meal as well.
Hmm. Now, just to back up and look at the bigger issue now, the fact that there was this series of explosions in the first place, the problems. I mean, Governor Baker proposed yesterday a state law that would require certified professional engineers to sign off on serious natural gas projects. What do you know about the status of the bill? Does it make sense as a response to these issues?
Right. So it's just been proposed, but what he's asking for is a professional engineer to approve all work plans that could pose a risk to public safety. Well, that's kind of a vague definition. So the Department of Public Utilities is going to step in under the governor's bill and decide when there is a risk to public safety. And that's significant because it is exactly what didn't happen in the Columbia gas explosion. In fact, one of the key findings by the National Transportation Safety Board, which has been investigating the explosion, was that a Columbia gas engineer with less experience and less qualifications made some key errors that led to the pipeline overflow, the overpressurization that led to this whole disaster.
So I guess we'll keep our eye on that bill, see if it goes anywhere. That's WBUR Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers. Thank you so much, Callum.
Glad to be with you.
And we are joined now via cell phone by Reverend Dana Allen Walsh. She's the senior pastor of South Church in Andover, which played a key role in helping those affected by the gas explosions. And what's remarkable is that they played that role despite the fact that Reverend Allen Walsh and her church facility were themselves without gas service for some of that time. Hi, Reverend Allen Walsh.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
No, it's wonderful to have you on. I'm interested to hear more about, you know, in particular, how was your congregation affected by the gas explosions?
We were impacted on a few different levels. One was our physical church building was impacted for about 5 weeks. We were in the cold in worship. And
people kept coming. You kept having services during that five-week period.
We did, and we have a hearty bunch. So people showed up regardless. And each week for our offering, when we passed the plate, we donated all that money towards gas relief. And so we were able to give back even in the midst of worshiping in a cold sanctuary.
I mean, here's one member of your church, Andover resident Christina Wiemet, who says she's been out of her apartment since the gas explosions on September 13th and received help from her fellow churchgoers.
A couple who didn't really know me very well said, come and stay with us. So I have been with them.
I mean, it's a heartwarming story. You can really hear it in her voice. I mean, it's also personal for you. I mean, you lost heat and gas service yourself. Did you learn something from that experience that helped you help others?
Yeah. You know, I learned what a shocking event it is to have something happen to your home. And I also learned about the impact it can have on our kids. My son is 5 years old and my daughter is 1 year old. And for my son, you know, he's been kind of working it out through play every day and free time at kindergarten. Him and his friends have been dressing up as Columbia gas workers and pretending to work on the gas pipes and fix them. So, you know, our kids have been impacted by this. And so I've been able to see firsthand the level of trauma that's there and for people, and also recognizing all the ways that we can care for one another and how even the smallest acts of kindness make a difference in this time.
It's an amazing story about your kids dressing up to sort of work through the experience of it.
But besides me, we've had 25 families in our church impacted, Chris Wiemet being one of them. And my church has been amazing with opening their homes to one another, doing laundry for each other, you know, doing simple things like baking pumpkin bread and dropping it at one another's doorsteps. So we've really been able to be the church for one another in this time.
Do you have specific plans to help families for the Thanksgiving holiday?
Yeah, you know, gratitude is more important than ever in this time, especially in a difficult time. It really grounds and anchors us. So, you know, we were thinking about that as Thanksgiving approached, and we were able to offer an interfaith Thanksgiving service on Sunday afternoon where we had 20 different clergy representing a huge range of faiths from Hindu to Muslim, Christian and Jewish and Unitarian Universalists participate and help lead worship. We had the biggest attendance we've ever had, and I really attribute that to the fact that people came seeking healing, peace, and connection in this time.
So, I mean, this has been obviously a tragedy for many families in the Merrimack Valley. I wonder if Thanksgiving is bringing out also expressions of thanks. I mean, are the people you talk to, are they feeling defeated after months without heat, or Are you hearing expressions of gratitude from members of your congregation or the community more generally?
Yeah, you know, I mean, not to minimize how hard it's been, but really what I hear is expressions of gratitude for how people have stayed connected in a difficult time and cared for one another and been surprised by the outreach of their church, their neighbors, their family, their friends. It's really, you know, invited people to come together in a way that we might not otherwise have this fall.
So just to give some voice to that, additional voice to that, here's again Christina Wimmett saying what she's thankful for.
For life, for the kindness of people who open their hearts to me and to the people that are working to fix this problem. I'm very thankful.
It does give expression to how people are feeling. I wonder, looking forward, like the cold is only going to intensify from here, and those in need will need help, you know, throughout the holiday season and beyond. Are there preparations to continue helping?
Yeah, we're going to continue to provide ongoing support, financial and otherwise, to our members and our friends without gas. And we're going to continue to look for opportunities for, as a congregation, to advocate for people and to recognize that not everyone has the same resources and support that we do. So our faith is one that calls us into action and calls us to live our faith in love. And we're going to continue to do that, especially in this upcoming holiday season.
That's Reverend Dana Allen Walsh, senior pastor of South Church in Andover. Thank you so much, Reverend Allen Walsh, for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Evan Horowitz. This is Radio Boston.